ألم تر كيف ضرب الله مثلا كلمة طيبة كشجرة طيبة أصلها ثابت وفرعها في السماء.
نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، ما يهده الله فلا مضل له وما يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. حياكم الله أيها الإخوة الأخوات، حياكم الله وبياكم ونصركم وطبتم وطاب ممشاكم وتبوأتم من الجنة منزلا، وأسأل الله تعالى الذي جمعنا في هذا البيت المبارك على طاعته أن يجمعنا تحت ظل عرشه يوم لا ظل إلا ظله. My brothers and sisters, before I start, I'd like to pause for a minute to ponder, you and I, to ponder on the blight happening and the atrocities happening against our brothers and sisters, in that fact, all over the world, specifically in Palestine. It is our duty and responsibility as Muslims to remember these plight and to ask Allah Azza wa Jal and to supplicate, which is the least we could do, to supplicate that Allah alleviate His punishment and to alleviate this pain that our brothers and sisters are enduring in the land of Palestine. The Muslims, my brothers and sisters, at the time of the Prophet alayhi salam and at the time of the Sahaba, we had a dignity, we had something called Izzah. Izzatul Muslimin or Izzatul Mu'mineen. The Prophet alayhi salatu salam, he looked at the Kaaba and he told the Kaaba, yes, indeed, you are very dignified, you Kaaba, but the Muslim or the Mu'min has more dignity in the eye of Allah Azza wa Jal, in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal, more than you, O Kaaba. The Muslim in the face of Allah Azza wa Jal, in the sight of Allah, has more dignity. Allah Azza wa Jal does not like atrocities. Allah Azza wa Jal does not like oppression. Allah Azza wa Jal does not like transgression. We can't just be watching and looking and we say, or you flip the channel and then you go and you enjoy yourself and with your family and your kids. But we have to ponder, whose kids are they? Whose families are they? They're your families, they're our kids. Aren't they? Aren't they your kids too? Aren't they your parents too? Aren't they? طيب. So think about this, my brothers and sisters. And remember the izzah and the dignity of the Muslims. Remember the izzah of Rub'i ibn Amr when he went to see, and I mentioned this story some time back here, when Rub'i came, was sent at that time there was a battle between the Muslims and the Persians. And he was sent to do some negotiations between him and Rustam, the leader of Persia. And he came with this dignity. And to just cut it short, he told Rustam, listen, Allah Azza wa Jal, we were sent out by Allah to bring people out. Huh? To bring people out. We were sent by Allah to bring people out from the atrocities of other religions, from the injustice of other religions to the justice of Islam. And to bring people out from the tightness of this dunya to the vastness of akhirah. Allah Azza wa Jal brought us out. لنخرج العباد من عبادة رب العباد من عبادة العباد إلى عبادة رب العباد. To bring people out from worshipping people to worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal. This is our mission. This is our mission. And my brothers and sisters, Rub'i, who was only not even 25 years old, did not go to Harvard or to Berkeley University or to some sort of Oxford University. لا, he went to the University of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. And he had a mission, and he had a vision. And he had pride. What is the pride of the Muslim Ummah nowadays? That's why, my brothers and sisters, we need to think and ponder of what's happening, and then reflect. Tomorrow, we could be next. You never know. You never know. So supplicate and raise your hands in the midst of the night before Allah, asking Him to alleviate this punishment. May Allah Azza wa Jal help us to practice and to convey. Last week we talked about an introduction to this world of jinn. And today, inshallah ta'ala, we'll try to complete the second part of the series. We, alhamdulillah, we went through so many contents last week. We going to go back, inshallah, maybe recapitulate for those of you who may have missed last week, just to go back and do a little refresh before we proceed with today's lecture. We said that Allah Azza wa Jalla created the jinn before or after mankind? Before. Who can give me the ayah? Who can give me the ayah that explains or indicates that the jinn were created before the ins? I need the ayah. If you know the ayah, give it to me. No, that's not it. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have created the ins and the jinn to worship me. That's not the ayah. I also put it on the PowerPoint, on the presentation. Weren't you brothers and sisters taking notes? If the sisters can, they can also participate in this. And we can send them candies wirelessly. You know. So, yes, I need the ayah. No, sir. Zakallah khair. Well, Janna khalaqnahu min qabl. And the Jan was created before mankind. Na'am. Zakallah khair. Yes, thank you. I can make it a little harder if you can tell me the surah. Surah al-Hijr. Surah al-Hijr, na'am, 26 and 27. Yes, jazakallah khair. Well, 26, 27, by Surah al-Hijr. Surah al-Hijr, 26 and 27. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَبَئٍ مَسْنُونٍ وَالْجَنَّ خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلٍ وَالْجَنَّ خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلٍ. And we said that the consensus amongst Ahl al-Ilm that the jinn can dwell into human bodies, and we also talked about some of their dwellings, like some of their dwellings could be, where do they live?
In deserted places.
Deserted places, washrooms, dirty places, filthy places, oceans. They like houses that what? Okay, how about some houses? What do attract them? That make otherwise.
A lot to get through.
He just, you know, going crazy like this. So, JazakAllah khair. What do attract the jinn?
Pictures.
What do attract the jinn?
Idols.
What do attract? Music. There is this magnet. That attracts them. Only Allah Azza wa Jalla knows. But subhanAllah, they get attracted by pictures, by music. Alhamdulillah. There's some people might say, music. No, ya Sheikh, music. Why music? Music is good. We have a Sheikh and this Sheikh and that Sheikh and we have fatwa. Say, Sheikh, music is halal, is okay. What kind of music? You think, my brothers and sisters, let me ask you this, please, with all due respect. Abu Bakr and Umar sitting. Abu Bakr with his turban and sitting, whatever, you know, with his big beard, and Umar next to him, and Abu Bakr's doing like this. Abu Umar, hey, like this. You think, ma'ad Allah, hasha. You think Abu Bakr would do something like that? You think Abu Umar would do something like that? You tell me music is okay? The four madhabs. الشافعي أبو حنيفة والمالكي والإمام أحمد والشافعي four of them they are all with the consensus alhamdulillah this is no differences of madhahib and what not they both disliked they four all of them disliked something called music to the extent that Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه وارضاه has translated or interpreted the ayah. There's one ayah in the Quran that talks about laghu, things that actually may deviate people. And he said, this meaning of this ayah is about music. Wallahi, he says. He says, wallahi, Allah talks about music here. He swears by Allah that it is music. And do you know, my brothers and sisters, that music was prohibited before khamr? Do you know that music was made haram before ghina, before khamr, before alcohol? Way before alcohol. SubhanAllah. Then comes somebody who says music is okay. There is something called anashid. Islamic anashid. There are some discrepancies. As long as you don't overdo them, they're okay. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, according to some people, they're okay. As long as there is no... But how about those that... You know, Allahu, this, what kind of music is this? The beat. Some people, they like those people. So music actually is something that attracts the jinn as well. What else attracts the jinn? Pictures, idols, statuses, right? Music.
Television.
Tel-eye vision. Bad gatherings. Bad deeds. These are all the things that, you know, attracts them. Exactly. Can they be seen?
No. Yes. Only in their, in if they turn into a living thing.
Like only they can be seen only if they take the form of. Yes, human or an animal or a human. Yes, I can give you that too, all right? I'm sorry. Only if they take the form of an animal or a human. Like what?
Dogs.
No, dogs and, yeah, like cats, snakes,
but
scorpions.
They usually turn into black.
Not necessarily, but they like the color black. You know, black things, you know, something like that. Now, let's keep moving. Who can give me the hadith? Maybe the sisters. All right? The sisters. Give me the hadith that indicates where Iblis lives. I don't want you to tell me he lives there. I want you to give me the hadith that says where does Iblis live. Give me the hadith and we'll send you sweets. Yalla. I'll give you a hint. The throne of the shaitan. The throne of the shaitan. Give me the hadith. Hadith. I mentioned the hadith. Can you tell me the hadith? All right, brothers, hadith. Who can give me the hadith about the throne of the shaitan? The throne of the shaitan is in the ocean. Okay, طيب, the hadith. You know, who narrates this hadith? Huh? لا. You see, if it's not Bukhari, it's Muslim. It is Sahih Muslim, but actually, okay, who narrated the hadith? Not Abu Huraira. Of course, it's Abu Huraira. No, it's not Abu Huraira. Who narrated the hadith? It's in Sahih Muslim. No, it's not Aisha. Jabir ibn Abdullah. I take my candy back. Jabir ibn Abdullah narrates the hadith. Put it down. Note it. Jabir ibn Abdullah in Sahih Muslim narrates that the Prophet ﷺ says the throne of the shaitan is on water. Is on water. Na'am. Subhanallah. We talked about a test for witchcraft, if you remember. Go back, because I was asked a question about this. Somebody called me on the phone. What hand do I read those verses on? I said to, you know, take your right palm and to recite the verses, Surah Ibrahim 42 to 52, and Surah Al-Mu'minun, Al-Falaq, Al-Nas, and then put your palm in front of the patient's eyes, right? And then you recite as you recite, you put your palm and then you put it on the forehead of the person who's sick. That person, if that person has been hit by some kind of witchcrafting, they may see something black or they may see something like a cross or they may faint, they may feel dizzy. So that's sort of like a sign that person is actually could be hit by witchcrafting. What kinds of witchcrafting? طيب, there's so many kinds of witchcrafting out there. Let us talk about some of those kinds, my brothers and sisters. There's a kind called separating between husbands and wives. Right? Separating between husbands and wives. They put a spell on the husband or maybe the wife so that they can maybe separate. Or there's something called incompetence. For instance, the husband is, mashallah, you know, pretty much healthy and everything. But as he approaches his wife, they just he feels weak. You know, that person feels very weak, incompetent. So there could be something. It could be that person is maybe there is a spell on that person. Maybe he's been hit by some sort of black magic. Okay. Not necessarily true, but it could be that person is hit by black magic. So that's impotence or incompetence? Impotence. Yeah, or impotent. Nah. So we'll fix that. But the person is incompetent, but he's impotent. All right. Extreme love or blind obedience? Huh? Extreme love. That doesn't mean that if somebody loves his wife or he loves his husband to death, he's hit by black magic. But to the extent that if he or she tells him jump from the cliff, he would go and jump from a cliff. A blind obedience. You know, maybe that person could need to check himself or herself. Imaginations and illusions. Maybe that person makes some start having illusions in front of his wife. She looks ugly. She has a bad smell and whatnot. Or when she sees her husband, she sees him, you know, as ugly or weird or strange. You know, that person starts having some sort of illusions and imaginations. Excess laziness. Somebody who's really, you know, feels like he's always lazy. All these signs could be together, huh? They could come together or could be separate as well. Excess laziness. Somebody who's really lazy. Like being alone all the time. Excess headaches. Likes to segregate and just stay by himself or herself for a very long time. You know, without doing nothing. Could be. It could be a sign. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. A sudden paralysis in one of the organs. Sudden paralysis in one of the organs. And this happened, I'm telling you by experience, with people that, mashallah, were okay, but all of a sudden, they, you know, one of the organs gets paralyzed. Or maybe the entire body gets paralyzed. They, you know, do seek, we tell the, you know, the people, go and do seek professional help. But if professional help cannot help, then of course we could also help with the ruqya shar'iyya to distinguish or to at least do some analysis and see if this person is maybe hit by some sort of black magic. So this sudden paralysis could in one of the organs could be from black magic. Rejecting marriage for no reason. Na'am. There's, and I also again from experience, from the people that we've known before, and we went to help. A sister who wanted to get married, and she worked so hard to get married, but subhanAllah, every time somebody comes in, gets kicked out for no reason. As soon as they approach the door, either they leave or they come in, and something happens. Then there is no connection. You know, for no reason. And then you just leave. Maybe that person is it by black magic, or maybe the house, or maybe something is really happening. So they need to perform the ruqya. And then we'll talk about the ruqya, inshallah ta'ala, later on. Infertility. Could be. That's why I say, seek professional help first. When somebody comes and says, I cannot, you know, have kids. This is in the presentation, and in fact my sisters and my brothers will, this presentation will be online. The brother here will upload it inshallah ta'ala next week, so that she can maybe download it and share it with others. Do seek professional help, but sometimes it could be from black magic, from witchcrafting, that somebody, you know, cannot have children for years and years. They're fine, they go, they seek doctors, they see, you know, they, everything is fine. Maybe that Allah Azza wa Jalla is testing them. Maybe Allah Azza wa Jalla is putting them in the trial. Maybe there's some spell. Maybe there's some black magic, some witchcrafting. Allahu Ta'ala alim. But we could do the ruqya to be on the safe side. There could be other reasons as well. What are the cure? Let's talk about the cure, my brothers and sisters. And here the cure will be by sections. First we'll talk about the cure for separation. If somebody is hit by this witchcrafting, or, you know, the black magic that separates between husbands and wife. So let's talk about the cure of such of this separation. First of all, you need, like I said last week, to remove all kinds of amulets and prohibited things from your home. Right? Remove all these jumbo things, right? These letters that are written in such a weird thing. You know, these amulets, these ta'weez, as they call it, right? Remove them from your home. Where do you take them? Do you go and burn them? Do you bury them? What do you do with them? If you don't know what to do with them, take them to somebody who knows. Because you cannot just go and burn them. There is a certain procedure that has to take place. There's a certain procedure that has to happen, you know, before burning these amulets, right? These ta'weez. So you have to take them out from your home, first of all. Okay. You take 7 green leaves from the lotus tree, or actually in Arabic called waraq al-sidr. Waraq al-sidr. Remember, al-sidr or lotus. I don't know what you call it in your language. Who knows sidr? Okay, you go to any store that sells, scents and perfumes and stuff. They could have sidr. Or maybe they have like Bombay bazaar here, any bazaar, kind of bazaar things. They may have something called sidr. The stores that sell black seeds and stuff, they could have them. It's very, you can find it, you find them a lot actually in Saudi Arabia, in Yemen. There is this, tree called asir. So you take 7 leaves of this tree, of this sidr. It's better if it's, fresh, green. They could be also dry. That also could work, right? All right. Car F29154, the headlights are on. If you want to stay here and spend the night, you can stay. If not, then please go and turn your lights off. Take these green leaves, my brothers, this sidr, walaq al-sidr, and then ground them. Okay, ground them, put them into some grounding, and then just ground them. And put everything into a vessel of water. Put this bucket of water, right? How full, put just whatever, put some bucket and then fill it up with water, and then put this walaq al-sidr. And then mix the Prophet, and we'll make that, this is actually based on all the hadith of the Prophet and we'll talk about the hadith later on, right? So you take the water and then you put the ground leaves or the walaq al-sidr onto this water, and then you mix, and then you recite. You bring your mouth close to the water, like this, right? Here's the water, right? This is water now, right? And then I put the walaq al-sidr. And then I mix it. It's mixed, right? And then I bring my mouth very close so that the dry air, comes out, from me to the water. And then I recite these verses. You recite Ayatul Kursi. If you don't take notes, I'm not going to upload this on the internet. Still take notes. I might say things that you might not, you might not be hearing on the presentation. So do take notes, or maybe your wives are taking notes. They don't take notes, huh? All right. You recite Ayatul Kursi. You know what Ayatul Kursi? Ayatul Kursi. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul al-qayyum la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. طيب. And then you recite Surah Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun. Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun. And then Surah Al-Ikhlas. What is Surah Al-Ikhlas? قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. And then you recite قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Surah Al-A'raf, from verse 117 to verse 122. 117 to 122. وأوحينا إلى موسى أن ألقي عصاك. It starts from وأوحينا إلى موسى أن ألقي عصاك. فهي تلقف أو تلقف ما يفكون. وألقي السحرة ساجدين. To the end, from 117 to 122, الأعراف 117 to 122, to وألقي السحرة ساجدين. قالوا آمنا برب العالمين رب موسى وهارون. رب موسى وهارون. And then you recite Surah Yunus 81-82. قال موسى ما جئتم به السحر إن الله سيبطله. Look at this. All these ayat, they talk about sihr. They talk about magic or black magic. These verses talk about black magic. So here in Surah Yunus 81-82, قال موسى. Musa says to those magicians that were called by Fir'aun. قَالَ مُوسَى مَا جِئْتُمْ بِهِ السِّحْرِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَيُبْطِلُهُ. What you brought is nothing but sihr. Allah will waive it. Who waves the sihr? It is Allah. Who removes the sihr? It is Allah. It is not me or you or the guy who reads. Because this is why I said, when somebody goes to do the ruqya, he's got to be professional and he's got to be somebody who fears Allah. First, you talk to the person and try to link that person with Allah. It is not me who's the Shafi. So don't put your trust in me. Don't think I'm the one who's going to give you the Shifa. It is not me. It is Allah who can give you the Shifa. This is the first talk that you have to talk to that person. Before starting, you know, your ruqya, give that person a talk and elevate that iman. Give him a boost. Here Allah says, قَالَ مُوسَى مَا جِئْتُمْ بِهِ السِّحْرِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَيُبْطِلُهُ. Whatever you brought is sihr. This is nothing but sihr. Allah will waive it. إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَيُبْطِلُهُ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَيُبْطِلُهُ. Wallahi, my brothers and sisters, we were reciting these surahs, you know, summiting alhamdulillah upon people who were, you know, who were sick. They, you know, they, subhanAllah, some of them start screaming, some of them, you know, start crying, some of them, La ilaha illallah. You see the wonders of Allah Azza wa Jalla. مَا جِئْتُمْ بِهِ السِّحْرِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَيُبْطِلُهُ. And then you recite Surah Taha 69. إِنَّمَا صَنَعُوا كَيْدُ سَاحِرُ وَلَا يُفْلِحُ السَّاحِرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى. Again, another surah that talks about sihr. إِنَّمَا صَنَعُوا كَيْدُ سَاحِرُ وَلَا يُفْلِحُ السَّاحِرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى حَيْثُ أَتَى. This is surah, this is Taha, ayah number 69, that talks about sihr. This is nothing but sihr. إِنَّمَا صَنَعُوا كَيْدُ سَاحِرُ. This is nothing but sihr. Whatever they have made is nothing purely, is purely sihr. وَلَا يُفْلِحُ السَّاحِرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى. The one who practices black magic will be a loser. We'll be a loser, and we'll talk about the signs of a black the one who practices black magic. How would you distinguish? How would you know? And then the patient should drink off of this water and wash yourself with it, or himself or herself with it for 7 days, if not more, but at least 7 days. At least 7 days. Take this water and take a bath with. Wallahi, I saw it with my own eyes. When you start, you know, pouring water on this person who is sick, and you feel this man, you know, this person, you know, shivering and then screaming, and because the water's got nothing but Quran. Did we do anything other than Quran? Nothing. It's all Quran and Sunnah. What a qasidr. It's from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, since Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, and also the Imma. And we'll talk later on about the other oil, what is it called? Black seed, the black seed oil, or the black seed itself. How about some of the symptoms of infertility caused by witchcrafting? All right? Because we talked about the kinds of witchcrafting, if you remember. We said there's separation between husbands and wives, and we said infertility could be. So what are some of the signs of or symptoms of infertility caused by witchcrafting or black magic? Tightness in the chest, especially after Asr. After Asr, you see that person's chest, subhanAllah, becoming tightened, painful, and it can last until late at night, late in the evening. SubhanAllah, every day, every night, that person after Asr feels this tightness in the chest. SubhanAllah. Constant pain in the lower back is another sign. Could be another sign. Constant pain in the lower back. Insomnia, which is lack of sleep. Hard to sleep, yani find it very hard to sleep. Frequent nightmares could be another sign. Right? We talked about those nightmares, like, you know, seeing animals and, you know, animals running after you and trying to catch you, a dog wanted to bite you, things like that, you know. Falling off of a cliff, kind of. You know, you see yourself falling off of a cliff. Not necessarily, this is like I said last week. If you see these signs, this is not necessarily that you're hit by witchcrafting, but it could be. You know, chances are that it could be you know, that person could be hit by some black magic. Everybody say, Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
How about some of the signs of a witchcrafter? I'm still going to go ahead, inshallah, later on and talk and give you the ruqya, and we'll write it down for you as well. The ruqya. Okay, now I want to talk about the signs of a sahir. So there are a lot of people who claim that the only thing they do is they recite Quran. You go to somebody and says, Sheikh Fulan, he's very well known. People travel all over to go and see him. And that person only do Quran. And then when you go to that person who claims he does Quran, you see some weird stuff happening. Yes, he can recite the Quran. He can recite the Quran. He starts touching you and then he's reciting the Quran. But at the same time, he recites things that you don't know. You don't understand. There's a language called the Miyati, heard of, the language of the jinn. So you see people, you see them reciting some weird language, writing some weird, I call it mumbo jumbo, something that you can even read, some signs, symbols, right? Reading the Quran or writing the Quran upside down, wal-iyadu billah. If he asked you about the mother and father's names, he's a sahir. Why my father's name? What do you want to... Oh, his father's name and his mother's name. What's his father's name? Why? Why would you know? Or why would you need to know his father's name or my father's name? He's a sahir. That's one sign. Asking for somebody's garments. He says, can you go get me his shirt? Go get me his pants or her hijab or her abaya. Get me something. Get me some garment. He's a sahir. Asking for some animal. Get me a rat who lives in Hong Kong. I don't know. They say something, some weird stuff. Why? Because they want to make it so impossible so that you can pay money. And they've got that rat who lives in Hong Kong. They got him. So you pay money, they just trickers, they fool you. Wal-iyadu billah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. طيب. When somebody asks for an animal, is also could be one of the signs of the sahir. Asking for the sacrifice to be thrown in a filthy place. A sacrifice. He goes and says, you take this animal and go sacrifice it in this dump yard. Why? What did I say last week? A sahir has a contract with who?
Jinn.
With a jinn.
And which?
A jinn. He would not, or the sahir, or she would not do anything unless she has or he has a contract with the jinn. Because they serve the jinn. For the jinn, wal-iyadu billah, to serve them, they have to serve the jinn. So the jinn asked them for some kufr, to perform some kufr. Like the story I've mentioned last week about this woman, right? Who, al-iyadu billah, used to urinate on the Qur'an. Who said the story? Her son on TV. So it wasn't only me. It was said on TV, live, when she passed away, when she died and they couldn't bury her. And then they had to burn her, al-iyadu billah. Her son came on TV, said, yes, my mother was... Sahira. And I saw her. Then this is what she did. And another guy, other witchcrafters who repented, and they talk about their past and what they used to do. Things that commit, they make them commit kufr. So that they can serve them. So they have to sign a contract. Remember I showed you a contract last week? They've got to sign a contract between them and the jinn, wal-iyadu billah. وَلَا يُفْلِحُ السَّاحِرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى. Allah says in the Qur'an, the sahir will be a loser. Writing unreadable talismans, like ta'weez, as I said, these signs and symbols, they give it to you. It's only Qur'an. No, it's not Qur'an. It's only a name of Allah. No, it's not the name of Allah. Even if it's the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, why would I carry it with me? Sometimes you go to the washroom, even you know, forget, and you go to the washroom with the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, or you have a ring, Muhammadun Rasulullah, or Allahu Akbar, or something like this, and then you go to the washroom with it, and you have the name of Allah on your hand, or maybe on your, or then you put it under your pillow. So this writing of this unreadable, you know, something that you can't even read, talismans and ta'weez, or having Quranic verses written upside down, all questions will be at the end. Right? So they give you some sort of, you know, paper or some, they call them ta'weez or talismans or whatever you want to call them, amulets, claiming that they will protect you. Everybody, who is the protector?
Allah.
I didn't hear you.
Allah.
With your heart. The protector is Allah. The one who gives life is who?
Allah.
The one who gives death is who?
Allah.
The one who gives dignity is who?
Allah.
The one who removes dignity is who?
Allah.
The one who gives wealth is who?
Allah.
And the one who gives poverty is who?
Allah.
The one who makes you poor is who?
Allah.
And the one who makes you rich is who?
Allah.
The one who gives you sahha, health is who?
Allah.
And the one who removes the sahha and takes it back is who?
Allah.
La ilaha illallah. Everything happens with the will of Allah. Nothing moves without the permission of Allah. Not even a single atom can move and can fall without the permission of Allah. The rain when it falls, this drop of rain, with the permission of Allah. Allah tells this drop of rain when it falls, and how many, even the leaves in the tree, my brothers and sisters. The leaves in the trees, when they fall with the permission of Allah. And how many turns they flow in the air, Allah tells them how many turns they have to flow in the air. And where they drop, Allah tells them where they drop. Only Allah Azza wa Jalla knows. Everything happens with the mercy and the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Have this yaqeen. Have this iman built in. It is not this or that, or my boss, or my this, or my that. La, 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 la. No. If they get together, all, as per the hadith, Bukhari and Muslim, Ibn Abbas, if they all get together, jinn and ins, trying to harm you, but Allah doesn't want to harm you. Jinn and ins, they get together to harm you, but Allah does not want to harm you. What? You won't be harmed. And if they get together, jinn and ins, it's not you. If they get together, jinn and ins, trying to benefit you, and Allah does not want to benefit you, you're not get benefited. So, who decides here?
Allah.
Put your trust in Allah. Delegate your affairs to Allah. You'll be in good hands. Give me a hug. Everybody, stand up, give hugs to each other. Sisters, give hugs to each other. Jazakumullah khair. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So we talked about the cure from witchcrafting with regard or vis-a-vis the what?
Separation.
Now about infertility. There's also a different ruqya. Each syndrome has its own sort of ruqya, okay? But it's all from the Quran. In it, and as a matter of fact, that you can recite from the Quran is good, alhamdulillah. But this particular ayat, they talk about sihr, and they have an impact on the jinn. When you recite them, it's all about jinn, it's all about sihr. Subhanallah, they've got an impact. So here's some cure or the ruqya from the infertility, if it's hit or if it's caused by black magic. record this ruqya on the tape. I will talk about the ruqya inshallah ta'ala. Okay, I will talk about it. Next slide, I'll talk about it. But record this ruqya on the tape. And listen to it at least 3 times a day. Put it in your hada. And then if you have, it's better if you have a headphone, right? And then put it and then make it as close as you can. And then listen to it. Right? Listen to it at least 3 times a day. I'll tell you about the ruqya. Okay? Ruqya is coming, inshallah. And then read or listen to Surah As-Saffat every morning. Surah As-Saffat every morning. As-Saffat also has a lot that talks about, you know, the sihr and the jinn. Read or listen to Surah Al-Ma'arij before going to bed at night. Before going to bed at night, Surah Al-Ma'arij. Read the following verses on some black seed oil. If you can find some black seed oil, if you don't have black seed oil, then olive oil will be, alhamdulillah, will be fine too. The Prophet ﷺ talked about olive oil as well in so many ahadith. Allah talks about it in the Quran. Wattini was zaytun. Zaytun. Zaytun is olive. Tayyib. So you read the following verses on some black seed oil. If you be careful when you go to some bazaars. They sell black oil, black seed oil, but a lot of it is actually fake black seed oil. Don't be fooled. Go for the real one, genuine. How would you know? I don't know, but you've got to know somebody that you trust that you buy from. I don't know. But I know that there are people that sell black seed oil, which is fake. You can find bottles. It's written black seed oil from I don't know where, but it's a fake one. Apply it in your chest. Once you recite these verses on the black seed oil, apply it on your chest, take the black seed oil, and then, you know, either you or somebody may apply, you know, may do it for you. Maybe your husband or your wife or whatnot, you know, can do it for you. They can go and apply it all over your body, especially the spinal colon. This is about infertility, remember? So in the spinal colon, you know, try to and the forehead, you know, apply this black seed oil in these organs. Recite al-Fatiha. Fatiha. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That's a Fatiha. Ayatul Kursi. Ayatul Kursi. The last verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. From Lillahi ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard. Wa in tubdu ma fi anfusikum wa tukhfuhu yuhasibkum bihi Allah. The last verses of Surah Al-Baqarah until the end. And the last verses of Al-Imran. Starting from La yaghurrannaka taqallubu alladhina kafaru fil bilad. The last verses of Al-Imran. The last verses of Al-Baqarah. And the last verses of Al-Imran. Starting from La yaghurrannaka taqallubu alladhina kafaru fil bilad. And then you read Al-Mu'awwidat, the Qul Huwallahu Ahad, and the Mu'awwidat. Qul Huwallahu Ahad, and the three Quls. The three Quls. Qul Huwallahu Ahad, Qul A'udhu Birabbil Falaq, Qul A'udhu Birabbin Nas. So you read all these verses in the black oil, in the black seed oil, right? Or olive oil, and then you apply, you know, every day onto your chest and your spinal column, and the place that hurts you, basically. The place... the forehead, or if you like, you know, your entire body will be good, inshallah ta'ala. Read the same verses mentioned above on some pure honey. Bring honey, pure honey, right? And you can read these verses on honey and eat one tablespoon a day before breakfast. Before breakfast, take one tablespoon off of this honey and eat it before you eat anything in breakfast. And I will talk about later on about honey and about some other dates and other stuff when we talk about safeguarding. Tayyib, the same verses that we talked about, recite them on honey. If you have some pure honey, bring them and recite, you know, these verses, read them on honey, and then take, you know, eat the one tablespoon a day from this honey before breakfast. and repeat the entire process for a few months until Allah Azza wa Jalla brings the shifa. The shifa, the cure is from Allah. The cure is from Allah Azza wa Jalla. The cure is from Allah. So he recited, it's not for a day or two or a week or so, he recited for months. Some people take them years, just to let you know. There was a sister from a Muslim country who, subhanAllah, suffered from this for years. Years. But subhanAllah, I said in the beginning last week that one of the signs or one of the reasons could be a test from Allah Azza wa Jal. This woman was actually well into dunya. She didn't know Allah Azza wa Jal. She was very well known and very wealthy. But she didn't know Allah. SubhanAllah, she was hit by this disease. She started losing hair and she was feeling sick and becoming very sick to the extent that subhanAllah she got even cancer. What a big, big test from Allah Azza wa Jal. And subhanAllah, what happens? She started putting hijab, praying. But alhamdulillah. And then after some time she went back to Mecca to perform the Umrah. And she was eating honey from there and ma' zamzam. If that water that I mentioned in the beginning could be from zamzam, that's even best. If you have ma' zamzam to recite these Qur'an, these verses on it, that's even, mashallah, that's best. And she took a bath from zamzam. SubhanAllah, she came back to her home country. She went back for some analysis and x-rays. The doctor said, "Who did you see? Did you see any doctor?" She says, "I didn't see no doctor." He says, "It's impossible. It's impossible." He showed her the x-rays. That terminated disease that she had was gone. Alhamdulillah. Gone. And you know what? She wrote a book. She wrote a book. It's in the market. The book is called وَلَا تَنْسَ اللَّهِ Don't forget Allah. That's the book's name. Telling her story, what happened to her. Don't forget Allah Azza wa Jal. The hijab is today before tomorrow. The salah is today before tomorrow. So repeat the entire process for a few months. Let's talk about cure from generic witchcrafting or generic black magic. So we talked about specific, like, separation, infertility. Now let's talk about generic witchcrafting. Put your right hand on the forehead of the patient. Right? And then come so close to his or her ear if you can. Oh, can I touch a woman? Because she's mahram. I cannot touch a woman. I'm a doctor. When you go to some shuyukh, they don't like to touch. That's fine. But they take the hukum of doctors. When you go to a doctor gets to check you, gets to touch you. He's a doctor. This qari, this person who performs this ruqya, he's a doctor. So he gets to touch. Touch what? Only, let's say the forehead. So you need to go to somebody who fears Allah. Because there are a lot out there that we know of that do not fear Allah Azza wa Jal and claim that they do it by the Quran, but wal'iyadu billah, people have realized that actually they're only cons. Put your right hand on the forehead of the person who's sick, and then you recite the following ruqya verses. You recite Al-Fatiha, and the first four verses of Al-Baqarah. Al-Fatiha, and the four first verses of Al-Baqarah. And it's good, like I said, if you come close to the ear, as close as you can get. And then Ayatul Kursi, and the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, until the end. The end of Surah Al-Baqarah. And then Surah Al-Imran 18 to 19. شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط. All right. Al-Imran 18 to 19. And Surah An-Nisa 110 to 121. An-Nisa 110 to 121. And Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 54 to 55. All right? Al-A'raf 54 to 55. For the sisters, just, you know, assure them, inshallah, that we'll upload this online. Surah Al-Mu'minun 115 to 118. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Do you think that we have created you in vain and that you shall not come back to Allah? You're reciting these verses. And if this person is possessed, and then you're telling this person this ayah, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Do you think that we have created you in vain and that you shall not be brought back to Allah Azza wa Jal? The jinn is listening to this. These are very, this ayah that we have mentioned here have direct impact. Surah Yasin 1 to 12. As-Saffat 1 to 10. As-Saffat 1 to 10. Surah Ghafir 1 to 3. 1 to 3. Ghafir. Hamim Tanzeelul Kitab. Min Allah Al-Aziz Al-Alim. And then you recite Ar-Rahman 1 to 16. Ar-Rahman verse 1 to 16. And Surah Al-Hashr 21 to 24. You recite Surah Al-Hashr 21 to 24. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. And Surah Al-Hadid 1 to 6. Al-Hadid 1 to 6. Al-Jinn 1 to 9. قُلْ أُحْيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمِعَ نَفَرٌ مِنَ الْجِنِّ. الْجِنِّ 1 to 9. سورة الزلزلة. سورة القارعة. سورة الهمزة. ويل لكل همزة. سورة الفيل. الزلزلة. القارعة. الهمزة، الفيل، قريش، الكافرون، قل يا أيها الكافرون، النصر، إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح، المسد، تبت يد أبي لهب، الإخلاص، قل هو الله أحد، الفلق، قل أعوذ برب الفلق، and الناس، قل أعوذ برب الناس. So this is the ruqya. This is the ruqya. Let me put it back here. All right. Al-Zilzala, I said, Al-Qari'a, Al-Humaza, Al-Fil, Quraysh, Al-Kafirun. يعني the last, almost the last 10 surahs. Al-Nasr, المسد الإخلاص قل والله أحد قل أعوذ برب الفلق قل أعوذ برب الناس. Right, as you put this on the forehead or the head of the of the patient, and then you recite. If you feel that that person, as you recite certain ayat, especially ayat al-Kursi, you see some movement, repeat them, repeat that ayah. Maybe there's some impact here. If you see this person, you know, not wanting to listen, That person may even spit at you. But it's not him. He may even spit at you. He may look at you. He may push you. Need somebody who's need to be there with you to help you sometimes. But keep on doing it. Keep on holding. And it's tight. Don't stop. I'm not telling you, but the person who is an expert, again, should be doing this. Keep reciting. If you see, again, some interactivity or some movement happening to that person who's sick, for you know, vis-a-vis some ayah, do repeat that ayah. Especially if it's Ayat al-Kursi, or if it's Surah al-Jinn, or if it's some other surahs, do repeat them. And this process may take, again, hours and hours. You may come back and do it again. You may do it, like I said, every day. You need to do it every week. You need to do it, you know, until Allah Azza wa Jalla brings the shifa. Some people, alhamdulillah, they see the shifa comes right away. Subhanallah. And then if the jinn starts speaking, what do? The first thing is, you ask him as-salam for his name or her name. And then if he's a Muslim, then you start giving da'wah. If it's not a Muslim, give da'wah as well. And then at the end, ask that you know, person to come out. Ask that person to come out. If not, start the Quran. You see some people who have sticks with them. They bring them and they start hitting slowly. Some people hit slowly. Some people, you see them really hitting so bad. Some people, when they're sick, they think it's already from jinn. Automatically possessed, witchcrafting. Jinn. Otherwise, you could not. It could be maybe just in their mind. They need to see doctors. There was this woman. Wallahi. She went to so many doctors. She went to one doctor. He told her, no, you're not sick. Actually, what you need to see a psychiatrist. It's all here. She says, no. Her husband said, no. It's jinn, I know. Jinn. So he took her to some sheikh, and that sheikh only talks with the stick. He talked to her, nothing happened. He took her to another one, stick. Maskina, ya'ni, her back, like an Apache. Her back, ya'ni, la ilaha, they broke her adla, they broke her ribs. And she didn't have no jinn. It was all here. Right? People talking with stick and Allah, they said Quran and nothing but Quran. Quran. And this, and if you have that water, you know, the water of Zamzam, you can give that person to drink water of Zamzam, especially if you have recited those ayat, you know, of the ruqya on him, let that person drink from that water. Or you can even, you know, take that water and then spill it or spray it onto the face of that person. That could also, inshallah ta'ala, help. And keep doing this until you see the shifa from Allah Azza wa Jal. That person could do it by itself, by her or himself. Or you can have somebody else do it for that person as well. Tayyib, let's quickly move, inshallah ta'ala, because we need to complete this topic, inshallah, today, or this series today. I need to talk about safeguarding. This is the actually most important part, I believe. Safeguarding. How to protect yourself.